This particular town, this is a new startup church building. We don't even have a congregation there. And this is the first time we've done it this way. Typically, there's a congregation in the town, and it has grown, and it's time for a building, so we do it in that order. But in this case, they had an opportunity. They got a piece of land. The monies for the materials and the land are donated by church members, either here in the States or down in Nicaragua. So the funding is there. We just need the labor. And so we go down and help what we can. And these local guys are very hard working. We have translators. And then we learn over the years, you just learn how to communicate even through a language barrier. And I think that's something I'm going to look forward to, not having that obstacle when we get to heaven. All right, here's another group shot of the team. There were 12 gringos, as we referred to down there, and then there's the other guys there. That's not how you spell it. It's Iglesia de Cristo. There's not supposed to be an H in there. They don't use an H in there. And Tisma is the name of the town. Okay, here's a moment I wanted to share some scripture with you in Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to a different translation. So the scripture here, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That was so fitting to me because the way that we fit the component parts together and make a wall, it fits together. You do it exactly right, and it comes together. They're all separate, and they don't have any form until we fit them together and make them have a form. That's the way the church is. The church doesn't have a form until we come together, and God fits us together. And there's so much scripture, and if you want to spend time in Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about the gifts that we may have in the body of Christ in verses 11 through 16. There's all different kinds of gifts, and we really see that on this trip. There's office workers, construction workers, firemen. We had an FBI agent last year that went with us to Panama. Just all kinds of backgrounds, and we come together and work as a team to do God's purpose. And that's what we do in the local congregation. There's something for everybody, and that's a blessing to us. The church will succeed, but we want to be a part of it. We need to be a part of it. We need to do what we can, whether it's sweeping or cleaning or picking up or straightening song books or teach a class, invite the neighbor. I'm so proud of the mailing that we've done, and the excitement that'll create in the neighborhood. So these are the type things that we can do. These are the type things that we do on a mission trip. And it's also just to me, it was so representative of the way that a building comes together out of the ground with just stacks of materials, and when it's done, you have a building. A couple of other things I would say about that is that you are unique in the gift set that God has given you. Don't ever underestimate how you can contribute or think that you can't contribute. Just step in, raise your hand, ask for a job if you don't have a job in mind. You are needed. There's nobody that can do exactly what you can do. And that's what I mean by the uniqueness. We all have a particular skill set that we can do. And why is it important that we all contribute? Well, we want to contribute in verses 12 and 13. We contribute for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. It's to put together the service work that we have to do. Another reason is for the building up or edifying of the body of Christ. I need to be encouraged by you, and you need to be encouraged by others. And when we come together, that's what happens. When we work together, that's what happens. And I've really had that driven home to me in this particular work because When you get a chance to work with other men and elbow to elbow and figure things out, and the worries of the world are behind you, and you're there and you can focus, it's just a great time of fellowship. It's a great time of growing and learning. We actually have a devotion every night, and one of the guys will lead it on different topics, and that's a time for us just to stop and talk. Guys are horrible about not talking. And, you know, you all need to hang your heads. Maybe there are some exceptions, but we're horrible. We don't talk about what's bothering us. A lot of times we won't even tell our wives or those that are closest to us. And this is a time we've learned to do that. And we talk and we cry and we bare our souls to, you know, what do you have on your mind? What do you have on your heart? And the things that come out there have just really been good for us in terms of the closeness and the growth, the Christian growth that it's afforded to us. So we've always looking for an opportunity to do things like that. We try to be close to the locals down there, and the children are the warmest, kindest, happiest kids. They don't have, in terms of material items, they don't have any. But they don't know that they don't have it. And they are just tickled. They're just happy. And so we try to bring little McDonald's toys, and we bring little candy and little small things and share them with them. And they just light up. You'd think it was Christmas morning. And that's something that's been a great lesson for me, is your happiness is not dependent upon what you have in your wallet or what you have in your driveway. And I've learned that anew from these wonderful people in Nicaragua. Here's another shot of the concrete being mixed and the teamwork that happens there. This man's name is Stephen Russell. Stephen Russell has never laid block in his life. Stephen Russell is a preacher of the gospel. That's his job. But he came on this trip. I believe that this level right here, this is about, I think that's about 7 or 8 feet that he was at right there, the bottom level. So we had to build steps to get up there. But he's at the very top of the wall. But he was undaunted. He just jumped right up there. He wanted to be able to do that. And so I wanted to grab his picture. But serving the Lord takes a lot of different forms, and he jumped right up there, and I was really, really glad. I didn't know him before this trip, but it was great to spend time with him and to see his heart and to hear how much he loves the Lord. He just got was doing youth work, and he just left, and he's going to be a pulpit minister in the Lord's church in Tennessee. I had to put this one on there. It's the biggest plate of food I've ever seen. And this man's name is Clay Riley, and I'm telling on him. And if he's not careful, I'll send a picture of this to his wife. When you do this physical work, you can eat a lot more than when you do office work. So he saw that, and the lady tried to tell him, it's too much. He said, no, bring it. She brought that out there, and he ate on that. Clay is a retired game warden in the state of Tennessee, and he's another machine. He's another man that I'm proud to work beside because he can just lay block and work and build up an appetite. But God takes care of our needs everywhere that we go if you just put ourselves into his trust and into his service. All right, the walls are coming on up. You can see on the right side, it's up about 12 foot on the right side there in the back wall. This is from the street looking to the front. This is the building footprint is pretty much the lot. There's no room to the right. There's no room to the left. There is some room in the back. Some more slides will come up, and there's a little bit of room right here in the front. And when you go to worship, they would just spill out afterwards like we do, and they'll have their fellowship. And but they don't have to have heat and air conditioning. They don't have that type of extreme weather. They do have the heat, but they don't go with air conditioning. And you'll see how that factors into the construction here in a little bit. Here's some more steel rebar, and there's the gravel and the sand, and the walls are coming on up, and that's the neighbor. There's the truck out there bringing more materials. Here's a little stinky neighbor that we had right behind us, and what looks like a pile of scrap bushes and limbs and some stuff looks like you'd be waiting for the city to come pick that up. That's actually their firewood. So you'll see in just a moment, there's the street. They do have some issues. Some of their runoff water does go out in the street. They still are behind on that type stuff. And it's a beautiful country and beautiful people. And here's what they use the limbs for. Any limbs that they have, there's a pot right in the middle to the top. She's cooking. This was the neighbor right next door to us. And so she's cooking, and that's her source of heat right there. This is a large concrete structure there, and they just got it dipped down, so they put their fire in there, and then they can put their pot across it, and that's how they cook outdoors. They don't want to cook inside because it's just too hot, and then you'd have to have it vented. You'd have to have a stack, so they just cook outside in a covered shed area. Now, this was after we drove to Messiah for worship, and this is afterwards, and they're very welcoming. They're very warm people. It's like they don't meet strangers. They want to hug. They want to spend time with you. And we have to use interpreters and translators. But you just feel the love when you're there in their congregations. And we love being there with them. And some of the songs that we sing, we'd actually sing them simultaneously in both languages, because you recognize the tune, so you just start singing. So that's a wonderful moment also that we do. All right, here's the guys cutting some of the steel to make the rebar reinforcement systems. This is the banyo, the restroom out back. It's the old type, latrine type. They actually dig a hole. But this one did have a functioning toilet on it, and it had a 55-gallon drum in there full of water. So you just take the water the old-fashioned way, you just dip up the water and pour it into the toilet, and it'll flush the toilet. So that's uptown. Here's a plate of food here that I thought I would share. That's a fish. You can't see it real good, but it's rice and fish and some tomatoes, cut up tomatoes and plantains. And we have to be careful as gringos, because they have different things in their water and in their food down there. If it's not cooked, you know, you can get pretty sick down there if you let your guard down. But we have some brave souls on our team, and they wanted to try the local food. So he traded I can't remember an amount of money and a 3-liter Pepsi for his lunch, and really enjoyed it. So we take a break. We try to keep canopies up, keep the sun off of us, because it's very hot and we can get burnt pretty quickly. Here's their air ventilation. This is a sidewall. They finished these last few slides. They finished after we left. We just did all that we could, and then they took it from where we left it, which was some walls were high, but these walls were about chest high. But they'll put a roof on, and then it ventilates the air through there, and it keeps the heat down. That's an ornamental block there that you can't see it from this angle, but you can actually see through, and air can flow through there. Here it is from the side angle. but they don't have to have plumbing systems and electrical systems. They'll string some wire in there to have some electric lights and some electric fans, and but it's very simple. And one thing we had to learn going down to Nicaragua is don't try to Americanize what they do. They know what they're doing. Just go down there and work with them and be a resource to them. And we've always tried to take that approach and not to try to go down there and Americanize, for different lack of a better word. But here's the front where they've got the front wall put up, and you can see the bands, I'll call them bands, all of this. Has steel around the windows and the doors, and that ties it all together so that in the event of another earthquake, it will not collapse and they won't have the horrible loss of life that they had before. But they're very excited in Tisma that they're going to have a congregation. They're going to have to build up, and they've already started with Bible lessons, and they've already started with Bible studies and how they're going to build that up, and it's going to be an encouragement. Another thing that we've done in trying to help start churches in Nicaragua is actually support of the preachers. We'll pay the preacher, and a decent salary down there would be $50 to $100 a month. I mean, that a man could raise his family on that, and some of the monies that we raise go to pay preachers until a church can grow to the point where it can be self-supporting. And that's much the way that things are done with starter congregations here in the States. But we try to do that so that they feel there's a partnership, there's not an overbearing type of relationship there. But this has been a great work, and it's wonderful. I would encourage you any time to go. If you can't go on a trip, a mission trip like this, your prayers are needed. Your financial support is needed, and everybody can't go. You know, there was many years when I didn't go, but I always had an idea that I would go one day, and the Lord worked out the details. But to go around the world, as Bruce shared with us this morning, there's a need. There's a need locally that we're all to work together in the body of Christ, and as God will give the increase. We've got the fields are white, and we know that God will do His part if we do our part. So I thank you for letting me share this with you. This has been a blessing to me beyond words. We also do a medical campaign in June, and they build a full clinic in an existing building with dental and medical, and they give out clothes and food and teach hygiene and all those type things. So we're trying to look at all of the needs and all of the things that we're supposed to do as Christians in a humanitarian way to reach out so then people are in a better position to hear when we teach the gospel to them. So at this time, we have an opportunity. If anybody has a need, if anybody has not obeyed the gospel and you are ready to, and you have learned the word and you would come, or your curiosity has piqued and you want to come forward, we certainly can sit down with the Bible with you and teach you God's word, the plan of salvation, and so that you can have that hope of eternity that we have. If you have any other need whatsoever that this congregation needs to be aware of, you come as we stand and sing.